Aren't you glad somebody prayed for you?
Amen.
I was thinking about a friend of mine that's in heaven tonight. I've mentioned him several times, Mark Malt. Don't know how many people pray for me. I hope I have people praying for me. I know I pray for my preacher, and preachers need praying for. But I know Mark Malt was a great prayer warrior. Thank the Lord for people that pray. Sure need it. Sure need it. Take your Bibles this evening, the book of John, John chapter 4. We've been looking. Last Sunday night, we just bragged on the name a little bit. Amen. Appreciate the good service last Sunday night. That name above all names, the name of Jesus. We can't go wrong talking about that. Before I forget, I meant to say it earlier. Brother Terry Coffin, his wife, Miss Mary, she's been here several times. Miss Mary fell this morning, and so had a bad sprain. Nothing broke that they know. When I talked to them this afternoon, sort of bruised up, sore. I'm sure she'll be good and sore tomorrow. So do pray for her if you will, and give Brother Terry a call. Miss Mary sure would appreciate that. But we've been looking again through the book of John at some names of Christ and who Christ is. And just to jog your memory, we first looked at Christ as life, and he is life. We have no life without Christ. And we all drew this from Matthew 16 when the Lord's talking to the disciples, and who do men say that I am? And try to give you some idea who he is. And he is life. And that's a great way to talk to about him. He's life. He's my life. He's this life. And we saw him the second time as that great teacher, and what a teacher he is. And with that great thought, that's what we're going to somewhat look at tonight, as he is that great teacher. And then the last time that we looked, we saw him as that great physician. And, boy, what a doctor he is. Amen. He knows everything about me, knows what I need, and we just need to learn to listen to him. And tonight we're going to see him here in John chapter 4. And boy, these are great verses. I can't imagine all the sermons that's come out of John chapter 4. Probably some of my favorite verses in the book of John is this woman at the well. I've got several messages that God's let me preach out of this chapter. And we're going to see him tonight. Again, he was life. He's that teacher. He's that physician. But here in John chapter 4, I see Christ, I believe, as he said there that day in the temple, he come to do the will of the Father. And that was to die on that cross to be our salvation. And we see him here in John chapter 4, Christ as that great soul winner. That great soul winner. And let me say this tonight. I'm hoping and praying. The Lord told there as he called those men, he says, I will make you fishers of men. We're going to, Lord willing, we get done, if God lets us go that way, we get done looking at all these different things of Christ in the book of John. We're going to back up, and we're going to do a soul-winning class on Sunday night. And listen, there's no recipe. Every occasion is different. Every time you come across somebody, it's different. There's no 1, 2, 3, you're in, that kind of thing. We're not going to teach that way because it is not that way. It takes the Lord. He's the only one that saves. It takes just God using people like us to take the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And but there's ways, and here in John chapter 4, there's some things, I believe, that we can find from this great teacher, Christ, shows us how to be that soul winner. And look with me in Luke chapter 19 real quick before we read this. We'll see Christ, why Christ came, and you know these verses. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what is a soul winner. Seeking to save. And we can't save a soul, but we know who can. And so we're going to look about that this evening, that great soul winner here in John chapter 4 we see of Christ. And let's stand together. We'll read a few verses. We're not going to read all this account, I don't think. I'll give you some things tonight. John chapter 4 this evening. Let's look at verse number 4 of John 4. It says, "And he, being Christ, must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Let's pray. Our Father, I pray once again, God, that you'd help us tonight. God, we sure need a touch. Pray, God, that you'd help us to, God, just walk around these verses. And Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would draw our attention to some things tonight, Lord. And God, we all need to be soul winners. God, we need to be disciples, Lord. We need to be the followers. We need to be the one that's out telling people, Lord, of what you've done in our lives, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, God, to be that light to this area. God, thank you for the men and women of old, God, that's blazed trails all over this world, God, with the gospel. But God, even though that's come and, Lord, many times they're gone, God, help us to see there's still a work that needs to be done. God, help us tonight, Lord, and we'll praise you for it. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Let me read this. Brother Jerry brought me a little book to look at. Boy, I thought, what a great, great story to read here tonight, because I believe it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. When it comes to soul winning, and we see Christ here as that great soul winner, and we'll get back to John 4 here in just a moment. A lot of times people don't soul win because of fear. They don't think they can. You follow the Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest soul winners in the New Testament. What did Paul do? He just simply told him what happened to him and what God done in his life. And that's where you need to get to the place where what God done for you is so real to you that you just want to share it with somebody. And I remember a young preacher back in our church, back in Harmony, preached a message one time about selective witnessing. And we're sometimes guilty of that. Let me read this to you, and that's one of the things I see about Christ as that great soul winner, because of we know the story. We know how Christ came to that place knowing that that woman was going to be here, and we preached not long ago about this, and how she was that outcast. She was a prostitute. She was known in that city as one of those women that everybody talked about. Men had had their way with her. She had been given that reputation of being that harlot, and that's the reason she went to the well, I believe, that late in the day, you know, and there's such much that we can say about that. But listen to this story, and it'll be a help to you, I believe, as we look at some things tonight. It says his name was Bill. His name was Bill. It says his name was Bill. He was in his early 20s and had wild hair, and he wore a t-shirt with holes in it, blue jeans, and no shoes. This was literally his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. He was a brilliant student, but kind of eccentric. A very, very bright young man. He had become a Christian while attending college. Across the street from campus was a church with a very well-dressed, very conservative congregation. They wanted to develop a ministry to the students, but were not sure how to go about it. One Sunday, Bill, the guy that was long hair, blue jeans with holes and t-shirts and no shoes. One Sunday, Bill decided to visit the church. He walked in shoeless with his jeans, t-shirt, and wild hair. The service had already begun, but Bill started down the aisle looking for a seat. The church was completely packed and he couldn't find a seat. By then, people were looking a bit uncomfortable, but no one said anything. Bill got closer and closer to the pulpit, and when he realized there were no seats, he just squatted down right on the carpet. About that time, the minister realized that from way at the back of the church, a deacon was slowly making his way toward Bill. Now, the deacon was in his 80s, and he had silver gray hair and three-piece suit, a godly man, very elegant, very dignified, very courtly. He walked with a cane, and as he started toward the boy, everyone was saying to themselves that you can't blame him for what he's going to do. How could you expect a man of his age and background to understand some college kids sitting on the floor in church? Let me draw it back to your mind. Here's a long-haired, shoeless, blue jean wearing young man sitting on the carpet in the middle of the aisle at a good Baptist church. Now, I know I worked with a man when he was a young man, played in a rock band, a very, very well-known rock band back in the 60s. He was a drummer for him, very talented man. I mean, he's just a very talented man. He told me when he's a saved man, loves the Lord, thankful he overlooked stupidity. He had talked one of the men in the band to go to a church service one Sunday morning, wherever they were at. He says, we didn't have nothing to wear but the clothes that we had. We didn't have anything nice. Said our hair was longer in those days. And said they came in and sat down up towards the front. And said the preacher walked off the platform down to where they was and asked them to leave. Well, he did. This is true. I know it for a fact. And here we have a man named Bill walking down, sitting in the... Can you imagine all those good Baptists looking at him, thinking, who does he think he is? What's he doing here? And here comes that deacon, all dressed to the T. Says it took a long time for the man to reach the boy. The minister had fallen silent. Not a breath could be heard over the clicking in the man's cane. All eyes were focused on him, and now they saw this elderly man drop his cane on the floor. With great difficulty, the old man lowered himself and sat down next to Bill and worshiped with him so Bill wouldn't be alone. Isn't that something? Said everyone was choked up with emotion. The congregation grew heavy with emotion, and when the minister gained control, he said, what I'm about to preach, you'll never remember. What you have just seen, you'll never forget. Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible some people will ever read. Isn't that something? Now I want to ask, you don't know, because I don't know. I remember way back. Brother Jerry, don't let me lose your book. I don't want to be a bookkeeper. We had a lady visit our church here. She wasn't dressed like we would like for her to be dressed. Her first time ever here was her last time ever here, because some nice Baptist decided to leave a track in her seat that told her she wasn't dressed right. Wouldn't it have been a whole lot better for somebody just to sit down beside of her and take her under their wing? And we want people to look like us. I want people to look like Christ. Now, we like to do things right. We want to encourage people to grow in the Lord. We try to put what's right in front of people. But I sure would rather have a man sit in a service that I could preach the gospel to him than him leave this place and never hear the gospel. And I believe as we look at Christ as that great soul winner, what an example of what you and I need to learn to be as soul winners. You don't look at the exterior of a man or a woman. You don't look at their past, because all of our pasts are the same. I'm a sinner. I'm just been saved. All have sinned, the Bible says. And your sins are no different than anybody else's sin. So what a great picture of John chapter 4 is Christ comes to the well to have a meeting with a old harlot that nobody cared about. Tonight there's a world around about us that needs to see somebody that loves them, that cares about them. And it needs to be real. I've seen a lot of people try to be real that ain't real. And to me, that's just as bad as not doing anything at all. I just wonder, what would you do? What would you do? Would you sit down beside of them? I've been in some homes before. My grandpa told me this, and again, my grandpa, when he was telling me a lot of these things, that he never knew I'd be what I was, I don't think. But he told me, a preacher that's too good to sit in anybody's home ain't much of a preacher. That means from the mansion to the poorhouse. I've been in trailers before. Well, we picked up a whole family down there. Found them out in the middle of nowhere. They lived in a single wide trailer with no power. They were cooking outside on cement blocks with a buggy from somewhere, and he had taken the side off the buggy and made a rack for a grill. That's what him, his wife, and two children, if I remember right, got food off of. We got to tell them about Jesus. We got to tell them about what the Lord had done in our lives. We saw those children get saved. I think we saw Mama get saved. I'm not saying look at me. I'm just saying there's people out here that need to hear about the Lord. And here in John chapter 4, Christ is a great example of a soul winner, as we see here. And let me give you some things. I'm not going to be long tonight. I say that. I hope I stick to that. John chapter 4 this evening, I got about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 things tonight about soul winning that I'd like to show you here about Jesus Christ here. The first thing I see here, and let me write this down real quickly before I forget about it. I saw something that I wanted to underline, that I wanted to bring out. The first thing that I see here this evening when it comes to the Christ as that soul winner is found here in verse number 4. There's a call of soul winning. The Bible says here, and he must needs go through Samaria. And I wonder, is Christ with that attitude, he had to go there. What a great teacher to us tonight as a church, as a believer in Christ. There ought to be something. Christ has not asked us to go. Christ has commanded us to go. And there ought to be something inside of each one of us. Just not the preacher. Just not a few chosen people. There ought to be, if you're saved tonight, there ought to be a desire in your heart to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a need to tell somebody tonight? You ought to. Christ here had a need to tell about Christ. Look over in Psalms 142. Psalms 142, verse number 4 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Do you know there's people tonight that feel just like that? They don't believe anybody really cares about them. Well, God loves them. And that's a true statement. But just saying that God loves somebody is very shallow when it comes to the place of showing them that God loves them. And Jesus Christ here in John chapter 4, he had a need. He must go through Samaria. And church tonight, God's planted us here in Rowan County, here on the side of the road. There ought to be a need, there ought to be a desire in our heart to reach our county, to reach our state, to reach our country, to reach the world with the gospel. But there's not much of that in people today. I gotta tell them. I gotta go. And listen, I know people are busy. I'm busy. I know I can't be every time somebody needs something. I'm one amongst many. But if every one of us would do our part, we'd do a whole lot more for the cause of Christ. Isn't, and I'm not beating up. Please, please, don't think that. But preachers shouldn't have to get up and beg people and prod people. It ought to be hard for, boy, this would be I remember in physics, it talked about all these things that physically, in a true vacuum system, how some of these physical things work. And I thought, well, but we don't live in a real world. Can you imagine, I'm speaking from a preacher, I can't imagine being a preacher where I had to search for things for people to do because I had so many people wanting something to do. I can't imagine. That would be an oddity. But tonight, Christ, our example here, that great soul winner, the first thing, there's a call. There's a call that we must go out and find people and tell them about the Lord. The second thing that I see here tonight, let me give you my 1 point B, I guess, instead of number two yet. Look at verse number 6. I was reading through this as the choir was singing. It just kept coming back to my mind. Verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, noticed the word being wearied. With that call, you're going to be tired. Christ here, this great soul winner, he showed physical tiredness. And as human beings, I'm telling you, many times I get tired. I get frustrated. I get overwhelmed. And I just want to sometimes just, don't take this bad. My wife said it was, but please don't take it that way. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, sometimes I think it'd be good just to go somewhere where nobody knew me. When they saw me, they didn't have a clue who I was. Why? Because sometimes, I'm just being honest here, it gets weary. And I'm not saying, don't quit, you know, you're not bothering me. I'm just saying, but there is a weariness. But even though we're weary, there's still a work that's got to be done. So don't get weary and well-doing to the place that you quit, but just realize even when we're weary, God still wants to use you. So there's a call. Second thing I see here that when it comes to soul winning, we see that Christ needed to go to Samaria. And the first thing that we see that Christ does, he sparks up a conversation. How are we, you know, giving out tracts is great. I'm all for giving out tracts. But we need to advance, go a little further with soul winning. That you need to talk to people. Well, preacher, I have a hard time talking to people. You're a liar too. You talk to everybody. You talk to the lady down at Walmart. You don't know her either. You talk to people on the phone all the time. You talk to people on the internet all the time. So you can't say I don't talk to people. You choose not to talk to people when it comes to the things of Christ. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that's just the way it is. We all have, you'll talk about the ball game. You'll talk about hunting. You'll talk about fishing. You'll talk about your dress, your shoes, whatever you got to talk about. But we have problems when it comes to talking to people about the Lord. Why? Here we see Christ, that great soul winner. He comes to that well. He sits down and that lady comes up and there instantly becomes a conversation. Every place that we go as a child of God, I believe, it doesn't matter where we're at or who we're talking to, in the backs of our mind, that'll be something they're saying, look for a place to slip it in. Look for a place to slip it in. Look for a place to slip it in. And you'll every once in a while, that door will open up and you can slide something in about the Lord. Boy, didn't God give us a beautiful day? Simple little things. But soul winning needs to be built around a conversation between, here we see the Lord and this woman of Samaria. What's that conversation about? Talk about whatever you want to talk about. But I always try to lead it into about getting Christ involved in the conversation. So many times churches have programmed people to be so mean when they go talk to people. I know a lot of the horror stories. I stood on the porch with an idiot one day when he got mad at the woman because of some things she wouldn't listen to. And he said, well, just go to hell if you want to. I thought, now that's a stupid statement. But a lot of times we go with the attitude of being on the offense. We go like we're fighting a battle. Listen, I'm not there to defend the truth. The truth defends itself. I'm just there to share what God's done in my life. And that's what that conversation ought to be. But listen, if anybody could say anything about to anybody, wouldn't you think Christ could, I mean, if anybody knew that woman, don't you think the Lord knew her? If anybody could have pointed out her sins, and he does, he could have blasted her and put her on the ground, man. But that's not the way his conversation goes. Brother Knox, and I don't mean this ugly, Brother Knox, that CD, the last one they did, I heard him sing it last year at the conference down there, and I love the song. But it's talking about that woman as well, and the question is, I wonder what you would have said. What would you have asked her? What would your conversation be? I know what Christ's conversation was. But if you'd have met the woman at the well, what would you have asked her? What would you have said? So soul winning has to do with a call, but it also has to do with a conversation. And we got to get to the place where we feel very comfortable about talking about what God's done in our lives. So I see that about Christ here. The third thing I see there is he deals not in that conversation, at least the consequences. They begin to talk about religion. They begin to talk about the things there, and let me back up. I thought about that too when I was reading a minute ago. In that conversation, look at verse number 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. With that conversation ought to be compassion. That woman looked at Christ and says, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. You don't want to talk to me. And you know, there's a lot of people look at so-called Christians a lot of times, and we make ourselves better than they are, and we're not. It's only by the grace of God that somebody told me about Jesus. It's only by the grace of God that I'm saved. And if God will save me, he'll save them. But he showed compassion in his conversation. Not only in that conversation, it led to consequences. What is the consequences? What are we there talking to them about? Look, we need to realize when you're dealing with a person about salvation, it's not about getting them to join the church. It's not about getting another notch on your belt. It's not so you can come and brag about what you've done. The whole realm of it all, of it is to realize that every person is going to spend eternity somewhere. And the consequences of sin is what? Death. And you need to realize when you're talking to people, their eternity is at stake. And Christ has made a way. So I see that there's a call, there's a conversation, there's compassion, there's the dealing of consequences of sin and death. And then, of course, there's got to be conviction. That's the place that we're so missing today is conviction. And it's not about how scary the preacher can make it sound or how scary you can make it sound. I don't want to scare anybody. It is scary to think that you're going to die and go to hell. That's scary to me. But we need the Holy Ghost conviction to come upon people. Let me show you some things. This look at Isaiah chapter 59 real quick. Isaiah 59, look at verse number 1, says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. Verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Tonight there's got to be conviction. Men and women must see, boys and girls must see that there's sin. There's something about sin. Sin separates. So there's conviction found. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Well, we heard a lot about him last Sunday night. Remember what Brother Joe said about there in Job, about that daysman, if I remember right, that one that come in there and put his hand in between two opposing forces and puts his hand on one and puts his hand on the other and brings the two together. That's what Christ is. And Christ here, through conviction, when a man sees his sin and sees he is separated from God and how the wrath of God is upon him, but God gave his Son to be that mediator and to bring you through Christ to God. That's what Christ showed that woman. Don't you think she knew who she was? Don't you think, listen friend, how many times have you looked in the mirror and know who you are? You're a low down, sorry, no good for nothing. But God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. How many times have we looked and saw our sorriness? And how many times do you think this woman laid there in the bed with another man and realized her sin and how dirty and how nasty she was? How many times did she walk down the street and hear the whispers of other women talking about her? But Christ brings it together. So we see this evening, this great soul winner, he needed to be there. We see that compassion through conversation. We deal with the consequences of sin, the conviction that's found. But then we see the cure. Well, wouldn't it be just terrible tonight to know that, to think that there was no hope for somebody? What makes you want to share what God done for you? If God done it for you, do you not believe he'll do it for somebody else? Doesn't it excite you that you know how God made you free? How God lifted the burden of sin off your life? And here you look in the eyes of a person that is so wore down with sin. What good would it be to talk to them if you didn't believe that God could cure them? And here Christ looks in the eyes of this woman and gives her the cure. What was it? She needed some water. Not just any water, that living water. So I see this great soul winner through Christ. He talked with her. He shows her sins and the conviction. He lets her see that her sins are exposed. Then he offers a cure. And then we see that great change. Boy, I'm thankful. I don't know how many people God's let me be around that's been saved. I've had the opportunity to talk with people, pray with people, show people. I've never saved nobody because I can't save nobody. But boy, I rejoice. I remember as a daddy what it was like to see our children birthed into this world and what that feeling was as a daddy or as a mama. But boy, to be there with somebody as God birthed them into the family of God, there's nothing like it.
Amen.
To see their countenance change when they understand what Christ, and they don't understand the whole gamma of it. They don't understand all the ins and outs. All they know is, as the blind man was, I was blind, but now I can see. That's all I know, but I'm glad I'm some see. And you see the countenance of a man or a woman or a young person that's been so heavy laden with sin and the pressure of sin and they just give it all to Christ and they're free. In Christ, here we see that great change. It was an immediate change. Look up here at me real quick. Let me tell you this. Don't be a good Baptist. Just because somebody didn't do it the way you did it, don't make it that you're right and they're wrong. Just because they didn't pray a prayer or shed a tear or do this or do that, all we're supposed to do is throw some seed out. God's the judge, not me, not you. Don't make somebody, well, you got to do it this way or, you know, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, the Romans Road, and all that stuff, Romans Road is nothing but scriptures anyway, and that's what gets the job done. Everybody, again, I like to take a man, to be honest with you, and you might feel different, you know, that's, don't argue with me, this is neither here nor there. I believe when the man or the woman back there in the pew answers the call to God and says, I will, they're saved when they make that step. They don't, all I'm doing up here is taking scripture to try to show them what God just did. To give them something they can hook their teeth into. They don't need me to get saved. They don't need you to get saved. What they need is they realize they were a sinner. They stepped out and trusted Christ. I believe in giving scriptures. I believe we ought to. Let me be careful when I say this. Show me anywhere in scripture in the New Testament when somebody prayed the sinner's prayer. Show me. You'll never find it. Who made that up anyway? Some knucklehead like me? Because I wanted to make sure, I wanted to have my part in it. But there's nothing in Scripture that shows any of that. I do see men giving them Scripture. But I don't see anywhere in there where it tells them, well, you got to pray here, or you got to cry, or you got, you know.
No.
I don't see any of that. So, us good Baptists have added a lot to it that's not in Scripture. And I want us to learn what Scripture shows us. And our greatest example is Christ, that great soul winner here. And he talked with a woman, told her who he was and what he'd give her. And all she had to do is trust him. And when she did, it was an immediate change. And it was also an evident change. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've got flesh that I deal with all the time. I've been around people before and they've made a profession, and in my own flesh I felt they just didn't get something. There ought to be a change in your life if you get saved. There ought to be some desires put there that only God can put. And a lot of times I don't see that in people, and again, I'm not the judge. I've said it and I'll keep saying it. I don't ever tell anybody they're saved. Because it ain't up for me to tell them. And I don't want them to go to heaven or go to stand before God one day and say, the preacher said I was saved. There's only one person that told me I was saved. That was the Lord. So tonight, Christ, chapter 4 of John, is a great soul winner. You know what he wants you to be? He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants to make you a fisher of men. And I do, I hope and pray that as we go finish out, there's several more little places here in John. I want to see some things, but there's things that men that have, you know, Brother Melvin, Brother Ed, others that's been doing this a lot longer than I have, they can testify, you know, listen, there's no one way. I can't teach you. I don't want to teach you that way. I don't want you to stand up there and read a card off to them. You know, I can't remember what they call them things, those fish charts or whatever they're called. Step one, do this. If they answer yes, do this. If they answer no, do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to program you. But what I do want is God to burden our heart for lost people and have a desire just to talk to them. And you know, that's one of the greatest things that we're missing in our day is just dealing with people. You know, I don't want to run through and tear the place down. And people need to see a group of people that are genuinely concerned. And really, when you say, I love you, they know you love them. I don't remember who this preacher was, and it really don't matter. I really don't remember where I was when I heard this story, but it's a true story. This preacher, wherever it was at, whoever it was, he'd been talking to this man, trying to get him to come to church, trying to get him to get saved. And the guy just wouldn't listen, didn't have no desire. It was summertime, hot. Preacher drove by and saw him out there working on a fence. Preacher went home, changed clothes, went back up there and sweated alongside that man. Helped him build his fence and worked with him. And I don't remember the whole story. This is just the gist of the story. Later on, this man got saved and he told that preacher, you know, that it was that day that he saw that preacher willing to get out there and sweat with him, that he really believed that preacher cared for him. What are you willing to do to reach people? It takes some sweat sometimes. It takes a lot of tears. It takes a lot of disappointments. But I'll never forget what Paul said. Paul said that I might win some. Listen, we're not going to win everybody. We're not going to see 100% return. Everybody don't want what you got. But wouldn't it be good if just one? Just one. Now look at me this evening, and I'm not trying to be mean about this. And I'm not trying to scare you either. I don't want to be that kind of preacher. I don't want to scare you into doing anything. But the Bible says it is wise to he that winneth souls is wise. God's called us to be a witness. You're going to stand before God at that bema seat and give an account of your life. What have you done with the gospel? Would it be a shame that God would give me 43 years of life? I got saved when I was 13, so I've been saved right at 30 years. Would it be a shame that I would die after being saved 30 years and never one time told anybody about what God done for me? Wouldn't that be a shame? Would you just think about what he's done for you? You ought to just be excited to tell somebody what he's done for you. And if he done it for you, he did it for them. Let's stand together this evening. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.